Thank you for that kind introduction. Today I'm here to talk about the needs assessment we did at LA County Department of Health, focusing on electronic medical data. And just to say that I have no relationships to disclose. So here's the agenda for what I'd like to discuss today. But I just want to get a sense of where you guys are, or who you are. So I just wanted to ask, who's currently in a health department? Who's working in a health department? Okay, so maybe a third of you, or maybe a half. And who's working in the clinical side that's not from the health department? So we're, okay. So, and who's an informatics person? Straight up. All right, great. Or kind of. Good. I'm glad to see you guys too. And then who's planning to use an EMR data in their public health efforts? Is that why you're here? So there's one person in the back. So you and me, we're together on this one. That's great. So I'm sure you guys are all aware why we're here. You know, public health has increased access to electronic clinical data. And in some cases, we anticipate increased access. Right now, we don't have it, but we're thinking it's going to come down the road. And I think it's important to note that we're caught up in a larger movement that has started outside of public health and is sort of, you know, a larger movement in the healthcare arena and in terms of EMR incentives. So we all know the High Tech Act comes down, incentivized payments, and it's changing the face of EMRs and meaningful use in general. So everybody's clear on meaningful use. I don't need to discuss that, right? Okay. So just to give you some brief examples. I think we all know these, but I just to run them down again. And this is a quick and incomplete list. To not offend anybody, I've listed these in alphabetical order with the beaconing communities. Hopefully you've heard of Indiana. I think Louisiana is doing some amazing things, both in their beacon community and elsewhere in their Laffey registry efforts with HIV, New York Department of Health, of course, and Utah. And at LA County Department of Public Health, we've been also pursuing the same thing. We've been looking into this and been trying to figure out how we're going to join this as well. And we have a lot of infrastructure in place. We have a lot of electronic lab reporting, disease reporting, existing databases, registries, and we've even been doing some small pilots in public health informatics. But we wanted to do a needs assessment to sort of answer some of these key questions. And these are questions that we ourselves had, but also other people within the department that can tend to ask us these things. Is there a need for electronic clinical data? So yes, we like it, we think it's good, but is there a need for it? Is there a broad-based need for it? Is there a need for specific data elements? What pieces of data do we need? And what resources are necessary to make use of the data? What concerns do we have about it, and what is the importance? So we did a needs assessment to try to figure this all out. And here are the objectives. I mean, we're trying to figure out if this is going to be useful or not for us, and trying to figure out if it arrived on our doorstep tomorrow or even today, like, would we have the capacity to manage it? Would we think it would be? And then finally, this is supposed to be helping the department prioritize use of informatics and human resources. So we're trying to figure out, okay, it seems like a good idea. Could we do it, and what would we do with it? So what we did, we went around the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health, and we interviewed 15 programs. We interviewed 32 people in 15 programs, and they were including program directors, epidemiologists, their designates, and we sort of did a smorgasbord. We did a little bit of a semi-structured. So we asked them questions about data elements, we asked them questions on a Likert scale, and we also tried to get them to talk to us, get them to tell us about their concerns in a more open-ended manner. So we had these three ways of talking to them. And here are the programs we interviewed. And just to give you a sense, we were inclusive. We tried to pick as many programs as we could that we thought would use electronic clinical data, so we only excluded basically, you know, administrative function programs. So we have everyone from a chronic disease to communicable disease to maternal, child, and adolescent health. We have a wide range here. So just to fully disclose our methods, we did have varying numbers of interviewees in these interviews. Generally, it was two or three people. In some cases, there was extreme case, it was seven people. That was our first interview. We thought, this is great. We get everybody we can in the whole program. And then we realized that was a little difficult. So we had two or three people, and then in terms of our data element worksheet, I'll show you what it looks like in a second, but we basically counted yes. If anybody ticked that they wanted it, then it was a tick for the whole program. So if she said she wanted it and I said I didn't care, then we said the program wanted it. So it was more like an inclusive, like an or. You guys are programmers, it'd be like an or statement, right? Okay, good, good. Some of my people are out there. Okay, so here's what the data elements checklist kind of looked like. We formulated this based on our own understanding what is in an EMR. This is not a standard that anybody else has. We just decided to come up with a list of what we think are as commonly in an EMR. And as you can see, people would go down and we would tick off this list. So this is sort of what we would do. This is an incomplete list. This is one of my collaborators, right? So you can trust what she said. So here's some of the results. There we go. So here's some of the results. We're trying to understand, first off, does anybody want anything from the EMR? And it turns out, yes, some people want a lot of stuff in the EMR and some people want less. Okay, so just to orient you, we have on the y-axis all of our programs, on the x-axis the how many of the data elements out of these 45 data elements we came up with, how many they want, and you can see that the health professionals, which included area medical directors, dentistry, public health nurses, they wanted the whole thing. And you can see at the bottom, emergency lab, they wanted like 50% or less. So I think this is starting to, this is interesting stuff. This is, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but this is getting us to the idea that not everybody wants the same thing. And also to give you an idea, in terms of individual data elements, there were some elements like date of birth that everybody wanted, 100%, right? And things like oxygen saturation, only about a quarter of people, programs wanted. So let's drill down into this data a little bit. To orient you to this graph, we have the programs, selected programs on the bottom. We have percentage of elements requested on the y-axis, and then each color represents a different part of the EMR. So, for example, demographics is in blue, vital signs is in red, and this is showing sort of the difference by EMR section. So who wants what, right? So the health professions, as I told you, they were very enthusiastic. They wanted everything, so you can see they wanted the whole EMR, all of the sections. But you can see also that, notice that maternal and child health and substance abuse program requested no labs or studies, right? So they didn't want any of the labs. They weren't interested in the labs. And whereas health professionals and children's medical services were very interested in labs and studies. So this kind of reflects both the familiarity with EMR, but also what they're thinking of doing with it, right? And many programs, just to tell you, many programs right off the bat, like, they hadn't thought about what they would do if they had this. So this is kind of a new thing, and a lot of these answers were off the cuff. Other programs who had a deep understanding about the EMR sort of had thought it through. So this is exactly the same format as the last slide, but looking at different programs now. And you can see it's starting to tell a story here, right? Because we have chronic disease and injury wanting demographics and medical history. And then we have the lab and the emergency department not interested in the demographics, and health assessment and epi not interested in the demographics, but very interested in labs and studies. So there's a variety of data needs. We are not a one-size-fits-all kind of a department. We have programs within our department. We're going to have to think of something more complicated to deal with this. And one thing I would point out is, in terms of identification, is that you know how there's this old joke about how there's two kinds of people in the world. Well, there's two kinds of programs in the Department of Health. One that sort of have a registry approach, right? Like, I'm from the HIV epi registry sort of mindset, so I collect names and I have a list and we follow people over time. And then there's the sort of de-identified survey approach. So this is also reflecting that as well. So we were trying to find a consensus data set. We were trying to find, okay, if we wanted to pilot this, tell me the top 10 data elements that you would want. So we came up with sort of a top 12, and this shows the data element on the left, the number of programs out of 15, and the percentage of programs requesting. And so this shows a high-level consensus for these data elements. And the different colors represent the different parts of the EMR. But what's the problem with this? The problem with this is it probably doesn't answer anybody's questions, right? Because even though it's consensus, which is great, nobody actually, if we were delivered this tomorrow morning when we were bright and early, we wouldn't be able to do anything much with it. So I think that's really, really important. Now, shifting gears a little bit, let's look at the concerns that the different programs had. Just to sort of orient you to the slide, what we have on the bottom are categories of concern, and what we have on the y-axis is sort of number of programs answering on a Likert scale, very concerned or not concerned. So very concerned is 5, dark blue, very concerned, and light blue is not so much concerned. So there's a couple things that immediately jump out to you guys who are visually oriented, right? So one of them is that they are very concerned with the analytic personnel issue. And to drill down deeper, we did ask open-ended questions. We sort of elicited, we tried to delve into this. And it wasn't so much that they believed that people couldn't analyze the data, it was that they didn't have the time. They were already pressed for how many people they had, but they had the skills and expertise to do the analyzing, but they didn't have the people. So that's what registered here in this dark blue. Funnily enough, if you look at the IT, most programs said they were not concerned with the IT. Not concerned. And what's funny to us as informaticists, we are kind of concerned. I mean, we're obviously concerned about process first, and then technology second. But technology is part of it. So why aren't they concerned about technology? Well, it's partly because in our county, the IT is sort of in a central hub over there. So IT will fix it. IT does the IT stuff, so why would we be concerned? So they're not concerned. And then very interestingly, the quality and the privacy issues were sort of balanced. And this was the, you know, if you're a little bit of a informaticist and you're trying to get these things pushed forward, you kind of go around your department saying, hey, wouldn't you want to? And they go, oh, no, what about quality? The quality is terrible in the EMR. So yes, you know, but there was kind of a division, you know. Some people thought the quality was going to be bad. Some people thought it was going to be okay. They also equally split on privacy and legal issues. Now, to be fair, some of the programs who knew most about the EMR were most concerned about these issues. And some of the programs who knew least about the EMR were least concerned about these issues. So full disclosure, part of this exercise was just acclimatizing the different programs to EMR data and what it means. All right. So this was sort of like our big moneymaker question, right? So now that you've done this whole process with us and you've ticked off elements on your checklist and you've said what your concerns are and all of this, we left this to the end, you know? What do you think is the relative importance of this in the context of all the other things you're doing, right? And mostly programs said it was 4 on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being very important, 1 being not important at all. Now, we don't have to be methodologists to know that there's a social bias in this, right? Because I was, you know, obviously, we're going around on a needs assessment for this, and, you know, we're not outside consultants. We're trying to promote this in a way. And so they said 4 or 5, but I think the real story came out in some of the qualitative stuff that we had when we talked to them a little bit more, and I'll talk to you about that. So circling back to our key questions, right? Is there a need for clinical data? Yes, but the need varies between the departments. I mean, that's a no-brainer, but hopefully we got some evidence. We have an evidence base now for that, at least for LA County and maybe for other counties. But we know that the need for electronic clinical data is definitely affected by the familiarity with the EMR and also current data feeds. So programs who had really great existing current data feeds were not interested in adding another data feed. But the programs who had no data coming in, they were like, wow, this could be so amazing, right? So that's kind of an internal thing that's also affected this and was very interesting. And is there a need for specific data elements? Yes, but again, varies by program. And is there support for consensus? Yes and no. Yes, you can have a consensus, but what will it get you? What if I pilot this 12, you know, variable consensus set and it gets nobody anywhere? All right, so going through, you know, just to summarize what we were saying, in terms of resources necessary to make use of the data, you know, mostly programs were not concerned with their ability to analyze this data. They thought, okay, we can run the frequencies, we can do all the stuff we need to do, but we just don't have the person time to do it. And again, they're not concerned with the IT, because IT is just outsourced. They don't have to worry about it. I think in a smaller health department, you would see some of that collapsed, so you would see a lot more IT concerns. And I'd be interested to hear your own experience with that. Again, the concerns sort of are evenly split on privacy and legality. So they kind of hedged their bets, these interviewees, when they answered the importance question. They said, yes, it's important, but it's important, it's increasingly important in long term, and it may not outweigh our short-term concerns, which is a little bit like passing the buck in a way. I mean, it's kind of saying like, yeah, it sounds really good, but I've got all these other things I need to do. So I think that's part of the problem here in public health departments is how can we push over that hump to get to where it's useful to us? Because everybody thinks it's useful, and we've all agreed that it would be useful in the future, but then how are we going to agree to work on it in short term so we can get to it being useful in the long term? And I think another thing that came up in our health department, which is really important, was that we were often asked, well, it's all very well and good that you have, you know, this outside data source that you're going to share with us. Well, that'd be great. But what about the other data sources within the department? You know, we have other registries that are existing. And those aren't being shared. So how do we start sharing with the outside when we haven't shared inside? And I think that brings up a whole another issue. I think they're probably worthy of another talk. So I'm very interested in what this means. You know, I know that we don't have clinical providers here, so we can't really talk to them directly, but we have some informaticists or some people who half raise their hands, and we have people who work in the health department. So I think the important thing for the health department is that, you know, it's of high concern in the long term, but not in the short term. So we need a group that's going to push through. We're going to need a group that's going to push through to that medium term or to the long term, right? And in terms of the clinical stuff, I mean, the health department does clinical work, right? We have TB clinics, we have STD clinics, we are a clinical provider, right? So in a way, aren't we wrapped up in this whole healthcare EMR thing already? And then what are the, you know, in terms of the medical community, what are the benefits for them? You know, they I think in a lot of ways, they see the health department regulatory system as one of a burden. But in what ways could it help? In what ways could you take this data and then help them with what they're doing? In terms of informaticists, I think, guys, watch out. This is tough. You know, obviously the people who are working it already know that. But they've got you've got programs that are not familiar with EMR data. You've got programs that have not thought through the possible uses. You've got the idea that IT is going to be done by others. You've got the idea, you've got an underestimate of the work. And I think one of the big things that ties all these groups together is that the public health needs to work through with these other two groups, both the clinical side and the informatics side, what are the final uses of this data? What are we going to do with this data so that we can plan what data we're getting? I mean, we sort of need to start at the end and work backwards. So just to wrap it up, I would say the future directions that we're planning in the LA County is to form a work group to try to push this forward. And we really need to know what we're going for. And we're not just going for replacement of existing registries or for replacement of existing data. We're looking to say, what new things could we do? Because what's the point of doing all this unless we could do something better than what we're doing? And we're obviously have pilots with local HIEs, but we're trying harder to, you know, bring these pilots to a secondary stage. We've done some pilots and we want to push it forward. So I would like to acknowledge the co-authors, Dr. Reedhead, Dr. Timmins, and Dr. Kim Farley, for all their work on this project. And again, many thanks to the program directors and the staff of LA County DPH for giving up time to this project. Thanks very much.